Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is going to be a fun one. This is a little throwback piece that I found with Jim and John Harbaugh playing each other once again in Harbaugh 3 in Los Angeles, and wrote a whole chapter in Purple Rain 2. About the family, the relationship, my relationship with Jim, which dates back to 1998. But I found an old tape, in addition to Jim Harbaugh coming to the barn and talking about his brother John back in 1998 with Tony Siragusa and Stevon Moore and some others. You may have seen some of those photos out on our social media at Baltimore Positive. There was a visit in 2004 that I had almost forgotten about. I found it on an old mini disc. Ray Bachman, our then executive producer, who's battling cancer and doing a great job. We love you, Ray. Surprised me on the air on an anniversary show. He said, I got a surprise guest for you today. I think it was a little thing we were getting into, like I wanted to be surprised by guests. And he booked Jim Harbaugh on, and I didn't even know what Jim Harbaugh was doing. This is sort of early internet where you could look things up. It's 20 years ago. Where you could know a little bit about what's going on. But Jim Harbaugh played cat and mouse with me on the radio and was then the head coach of the San Diego Toreros. I called them the Seagulls. I didn't know their nickname. So here's Jim Harbaugh calling in, surprising me, back in 2004. We had a nice little conversation about his time with the Ravens and really his aspiration to become a head coach and what head coach he's become.
In December, I took the job as the head football coach at the University of San Diego.
You know, I knew this. Your name came up last week, and Casey said, where's Jim Harbaugh? And I said, he took a job, a college job, but it wasn't like a big school, but it wasn't like Division III or anything. I mean, I knew. This is recently, right? Last couple months you did this?
Yeah, December 29th, I assumed my duties and responsibilities here. And it's University of San Diego, 1AA. And you can relate to that there.
Well, you're up the coast a little bit. I mean, I spent a lot of time in San Diego. I mean, imagine you were living down in Orlando when you played here, right?
Yeah, there. And
but you know,
gotta, Reisterstown.
You got to go to the Sunshine, bro. You know what I mean? Like, all that Michigan, that Chicago, you got to get all that out of your city. I mean, you paid your dues in these cold places. I mean, it's time for you to, like, find some sunshine. So San Diego sounds like a good place.
It really is. Have you ever spent any time here? I mean, this is one of the finest cities in America right here.
It is the finest city in America. And if I didn't own a radio station and have, like, massive roots here, every time I get off the plane out at Lindbergh and that plane lands over that cliff and it looks like you're going to crash into it, but you don't. And then you get off the plane and you cross out of the airport and I get that first breath of fresh air right after I leave Rubio's Fish Tacos. And I say, what the hell am I doing out there when I could be here, you know?
I know what you mean.
I wonder. So how did you get this gig? You always wanted to be a coach. Your old man's a coach. Your brother's a coach. You played for a period of time. But this was your calling, right? You want to be an NFL coach, correct?
Well, I've wanted to be a coach ever since I was about 6 years old. And I knew I'd play as long as I could and then go into coaching. And it's probably the next best thing to playing. I don't think there's anything as fun is actually being out there on the field and playing, but this really keeps you close to the action, and I've enjoyed it. I learned a lot as my 2 years with the Oakland Raiders and working for Mr. Al Davis, and now I get a chance to be part of a program as a head coach.
What was that all about, working for Al and going out and being a part of a team? And, I mean, you coached in a Super Bowl a year and a half ago. I didn't get a chance to say hello to you out there. I don't think I've seen you since you left. Maybe once. I think I saw you on the field. You were playing for the Chargers or something. Maybe like right after you left here, we saw each other kind of briefly. But, I mean, just kind of catching up with you, and it's kind of cool and on a mystery basis. I don't have any questions or anything. I'm a shooting from the hip here. But how did you wind up out in Oakland? I mean, your brother was in Philly, and, I mean, obviously a lot of ties in the league, but why there?
Well, the Raiders were looking for a quarterback coach, and Mike Lombardi, who was at the Eagles when my brother was there, was a director of player personnel in Oakland and brought my name up to Mr. Davis, and he liked the idea. And so I did. I got to see how Al Davis puts together a team, how he runs a draft room, and was with a team that went to a Super Bowl 1 year and then the next massive injuries and guys on IR and at the bottom of the standings. So only there 2 years, but I felt like I was there about 10. I mean, it was just such a great learning experience from learning from one of the great minds in the history of the National Football League, and Al Davis.
Did you spend a lot of time with Al?
He really did. He took me under his wing, and there's a, I don't know what you say a lot is, but every couple times a week he'd call me over and we'd talk and he'd ask me questions and I never heard him ask too many questions that he didn't know the answer to. So, but it was just fun being. I really always got a real lot of enthusiasm when I would talk to Mr. Davis.
Well,
I was learning there was something to be gleaned every time I talked to him.
With you dealing with the winning and then the losing so quickly, and obviously it was a veteran team. I mean, it could have gone either way last year, and I guess there were a lot of people that kind of predicted that age will catch up to you in this league. I think everybody knows that. It caught up to you as a player. It catches up to everybody.
Right.
But for it to kind of catch up as quickly as it did, I mean, I remember when the schedule came out last year in April, we had you on the schedule, and obviously it was a pretty special day that we all shared out in Oakland when the Ravens beat the Raiders for the AFC Championship. We went back out there, and you guys stunk, and we were like en route to a division championship.
Right.
And you guys up and just beat our ass pretty good 2 weeks before Christmas, and it's kind of a disappointing trip and a long flight back. But, I mean, that was one day when, for whatever reason, Callahan managed to rally the troops.
Yeah, the team was really probably 18 to 19 guys were on injured reserve, and you know what that can do to a team and – you know, you're playing with guys that are, you just signed maybe a day or two or a week ago. So I thought that was the biggest problem with the team was all the injuries. But and you know, it's interesting that Baltimore Oakland game last December. That was the day before that game. I'm looking at the matchups and I'm saying, we do not match up against this team. There's no way we're going to get beat by 30 points. And then just, like the NFL is, anything can happen on a Sunday. And Oakland ended up winning that game. I thought that was the biggest mismatch of the 2 years that I coached in Oakland. It shows you what can happen.
Maybe the interesting thing from your perspective, being around this game your entire life and now running your own ship, so to speak, down in San Diego. By the way, we're chatting with Jimmy Harbaugh, who's out in San Diego right now. More than anything, from a learning curve last year, to learn how to win and go to a Super Bowl, which you did the year before, and then see the entire thing fall apart. You weren't just a bad team last year. You were a bad team maybe with the a lot of this leaked out into the media, and you never know how accurate it is or inaccurate it is, but that there was a legitimate revolt that went on between the players and the coaching staff there. And so many things were said, and not all of it was pretty and nice, but for you to move out of that situation, what did you learn from that sort of vindictiveness? Because, I mean, from the outside, just watching the team, it looked like players quit. It looked, the coach took it out on the players took it out on the coach. It looked like a very, very unhappy place to be for a large portion of time at the end of last year.
Well, no question. It was really bad. I mean, the single biggest thing I took out of it is people don't like to lose, and you shouldn't want to lose. You shouldn't be happy losing. And the players were disgruntled and got to almost some of them. Not I wouldn't say players like it was 45 players, but there were definitely 5-10 pretty mutinous players there toward the end. And I think another thing when you build a team is you gotta have character across the board. I mean, it's all about people on the team, and it's okay if you got a few guys that aren't the highest of character maybe on your football team, but you don't want to let that number grow so much that they smother the whole football team, where even the good guys feel like they can't voice where they're coming from, and that's something I learned from my dad, and I saw it happen in Oakland this past season.
For you with that situation, and I guess coming off the back end of the Super Bowl, look, you play how many years? 15 years in the league you played?
Yes.
And to get to that kind of a height where you can be a Super Bowl champion, you come into Chicago right on the back end of one of the most amazing teams of our era to win that championship. You come in there with all that pressure and expectation in Chicago. You go on to Indianapolis here. Everywhere you went, there was this expectation to get into a Super Bowl. You get out on the field as a coach that day out in San Diego, and I mean, you were looked to be a favorite in that game, maybe to win that game, and it turns out your guy, your quarterback, the guy that led you to the first 18, 19 games of the year, you get the Super Bowl, just didn't have a very good day in Rich Gannon. The disappointment of losing a Super Bowl, does that, even 18 months out, does that kind of outweigh the fact that you actually got there?
That's a tremendous question and a really good question. It was a lot of mixed emotions there because, you know, Rich Gannon had one of the best seasons that a quarterback has ever had in the National Football League. So it's just, so disappointing just for me as a coach to watch him have to go through a tough game like that and to know that we as a team collectively, as a coaching staff, didn't do everything we could have done. You feel like you're outcoached, you're outplayed, but then to see a guy that carried us, kind of bear the brunt of that, I think it was unfair and I think that carried into the off season and as an organization, I think when you do have that kind of and I think it let it affect us too much as an organization, as players and as coaches, that we got beat in the Super Bowl. But you still have to celebrate the fact that you got there. But
that's hard to do the morning after, or week after, or month after. I mean, finishing second in losing a Super Bowl, especially badly, you might feel better about an 8-8 season or something. I'm sure maybe sometimes you did. I mean, I'm sure that was a pretty low time for everybody around there.
It was, but, the thing I learned was you cannot carry that into the next season. You can't, 48 hours later, you got to be thinking, that's over, And you can't be happy about what happened, but you can't let that affect what happened, past performance predicate what future results are going to be. I mean, you got to put that behind. You got to celebrate. Hey, we had a great season. We were a Super Bowl team, and you can't let that despair over that one game carry into the next game or carry into the next season. And I felt like that happened in a big way.
We're having a fun conversation with a mystery guest. Jim Harbaugh has jumped in here. He's now coaching San Diego. What's the team name?
Toreros.
The Toreros.
Yeah, Spanish for bullfighter.
Man, you going to send me a Toreros hat? What are you going to send me, man?
I'm going to send you a T-shirt and a hat.
Is it going to say Toreros football on it?
It's going to say USD football.
Nice.
Nice.
I want to come out and be a special assistant to you. I mean, if you'll give me a job in San Diego, I'll just quit this whole radio thing in Baltimore, and I'm on the first plane out there. I mean, it would not be hard to recruit me to San Diego.
Recruiting coordinator.
What kind of coordinator?
Recruiting coordinator.
I could do some recruiting to San Diego. I was going to say to you, when you're in San Diego, how hard can it be to recruit to get some kid from, the middle of Iowa to come out to San Diego and hang out and play football for you?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm a Midwest guy, and I mean, I love the Midwest. I love the East Coast, but it's a chance for some of those Midwest and East Coast kids to see something different. And we really compete against Ivy League type of schools. I mean, it's a top 100 university in the country.
Who do you play? You play like Pepperdine and those type of schools?
We play in the Pioneer League, which is Dayton, Valparaiso, Drake, Butler. We also play this year. We'll play Princeton. We'll play Penn. We'll play Holy Cross. Play at Holy Cross. So
why is a team in San Diego playing all these East Coast games? I mean, isn't there anybody for you out there to beat? Some team in Flagstaff or something for you to play?
You know what? There are not a lot of 1AA programs in California like there are on the East Coast. It's an anomaly. A lot of the 1AA programs have dropped their dropped football, but we got a strong 1AA program, we're looking to play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And there's not a lot of California teams to play.
Well, it seems to me, Lato School's out again. Dayton, where else?
Dayton, we'll play Princeton, we'll play Penn, we'll play Holy Cross.
I mean, if I can go to Holy Cross or I can go out to San Diego and play for the great Jim Harbaugh, I mean, I don't even have, I'm with you. I'm a Torero if I get a chance. I mean, this should be kind of a couple years in. You ought to be able to recruit your butt off out there, right?
Absolutely. We have some East Coast kids. We'd like some more, because I really feel like Midwest kids, East Coast kids are a little saltier than a little tougher than
some of the pretty boys out there.
Yeah, well, a lot of our kids are from California. There's a lot of skill and a lot of I like, you know, I'm maybe a little biased, but I like the East Coast kids and the Midwest kids. And so there's a student athlete that's serious about, you know, getting a good degree and graduating and playing a good brand of football. I'd love to give you my number. We can put it out there in the air right now. They can call me, any future student athletes in the Baltimore area there. Well, you get a lot of listeners.
People love you, man. I mean, like, of all the guys you were here, you were always, like, one of the thoroughly decent, nice people to ever play the game here. And I don't think anybody's ever had a cross word about you. But the 98 season obviously didn't go in the direction you wanted it to go. Give me just a couple of thoughts about your time in Baltimore. Other than me, you, Goose, and McCrary, you know, going to see Hootie and the Blowfish.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was that, you know, Hootie and the Blowfish was here last week, and it's impossible to see those guys without thinking of that night we all went out and had a good time together. I actually wrote about it in my book when I wrote the book on the Ravens team. But for you, 98 in Baltimore, probably just a blip on a 15-year screen. But, I mean, you were the quarterback when we went into the new stadium. And we had a lot of things going on. A lot of that framework of the 2000 year was built with you in 98. You played with a lot of guys that got rings out of that.
Yeah, no question. You know, I feel like, you know, I got to Chicago a year or two after the Super Bowl, and I got to Baltimore. It was a year or two before the Super Bowl, and you know, I was disappointed. That's something I wish I could have played better there. And you know, no make any excuses. We had some great games. Beat the Colts.
You beat the Colts. You beat the Colts. That
in
I was
Baltimore.
Gonna, that's the first thing
big.
I was going to say.
But you know, Priest Holmes was on that team, and I just wish it could have been better. You know, I got some regret there.
When you think of the guys that you played with that are going to go to the Hall of Fame, I mean, Woodson was first year in. Shannon hadn't been here yet. I mean, obviously where we are right now, you got to consider John Ogden and Ray, first ballot guys. You know, maybe one day Peter Boulware, if, you know, he can get through these injuries and continue to produce, he could be a guy there. I mean, did you see all that? I mean, in 2000, first of all, where were you the day we won the championship? Do you remember, were you watching at home on TV? Were you in Tampa the day the Ravens won the championship?
Yeah, I watched it from Orlando.
And what are you thinking at that point when you know Marvin Lewis so well? You got to know Art Modell and David Modell and Ray Lewis and the guys that you played with, Mike Flynn and these guys. I mean, you knew these guys, and to see them holding that trophy up in a uniform that you wore, I mean, there had to be a little emotion involved, maybe more so than any other year other than last year when you were involved in it.
No question. And, you know, Bill Tessendorf, the trainer, you know, just everybody, the equipment guys. I mean, just what it takes to, you know, the emotion is to be at that level. And you know, I never got there as a player or one as a you know, a coach either. So just happy for those for their success, and I was thrilled for them. For the people of Baltimore, too.
Little feeling that maybe you could have been a part of it as a number three quarterback, number two quarterback, to see Dilfer come in and Banks come in and be able to do that?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It just, you know, what could have been? You know, you maybe had played better, won more games there that year. I mean, definitely had an opportunity to be on that team.
Well,
so, yeah, I mean, just I don't care what anybody says when athletes say their career is complete without winning a Super Bowl. It's there's just no way. I mean, there's a hole there for anybody that hasn't won a championship.
You feel incomplete.
Yeah. You didn't win the big one. I mean, would have you know, wasn't good enough, wasn't tough enough, didn't do something. You know, just. Wasn't good enough to do that.
But most guys don't win, Jim. You know, I mean, that's the hard. I mean, out of the, you know, all the people that have ever played this game, there are only, you know, 4,000 walking around with a Super Bowl ring or whatever it is. You know.
Yeah.
I guess that's.
That's
you know.
It's a special thing. It's you know, it's something that I respect that people have done. You do that. I have great respect for you personally.
Well, we wish you all the luck in the world out in San Diego. I mean, hey, you should come by every 6-7 years, I think, and do the show. Hang out with us here. And when you get back to the East Coast, we'll be watching the Toreros. What color scheme do you wear out there?
It's a navy blue, a white, and then a kind of a Columbia, North Carolina blue, Torero blue.
I can wear that.
Sky blue, yeah.
That seems like that'd be a flattering color for me. I mean, looks good on my wife. I mean, everything's good. But
yeah.
I wish you all the success in the world. As I said, I'll
appreciate
say it again. You're one of the thoroughly really decent guys to ever put on a Raven jersey, and you're always welcome around here. And I appreciate you being our mystery guest today, my man.
Appreciate that. Life good for you?
Life is phenomenal. Got married last year. Son's getting older. Radio station's getting better. Orioles are getting worse. Ravens are continuing to get better. Life is good here, man. The sun is shining in Baltimore on a beautiful June day, Jimmy.
Awesome. God bless you. Great talking to you.
Take care of yourself. Thanks for your time, Jimmy.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, you got it. Jim Harbaugh. There you go.